Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, dudes. Got your phone calls here. Let's go to Mark in California. Mark, you're not really a Kamala Harris supporter, are you? I assume all these are. I'm just going to assume all these are going to be pranks. You don't actually support Kamala Harris,
prank.
Right? Not a prank?
Not a prank. I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Last 4 years, I'm a gold and silver dealer out here in California. Last 4 years, my business has been booming. Making a lot of money off this chaos. And let me tell you this, too. By the way, you do a fine job. Everyone, InfoWarsStore.com. I just ordered Nitro Boost and toothpaste the other day. The products are great. Life-changing. Do it. Harrison, fine job. Here's
Thank
the
you.
Thing, Harrison. Kamala Harris will be the nominee. They're not going to swap her out. Joe's going to finish his term just like they did with RBG and Dianne Feinstein, where they just they died before they left the seat. They're just going to let him finish the term so he can pardon his whole family. We all know that.
Yeah.
We also know that Obama's been running everything behind the scenes, right? We're agreement with that. He's been pulling the strings in the Biden term, right?
Yeah, certainly to some extent, for sure.
Well, I think majority. Here's the thing. When you hear this, you'll probably realize. Back when Obama was president and Kamala Harris was the AG of California, he was out here on some kind of thing as president. She was attorney general. Your crew can find it because they're the best crew in everything in the world. He, it's a personal thing, he referred to her as, I'm somewhat paraphrasing, either the most talented or best looking or the best attorney general of all 50 states attorney generals in America. I knew right then, okay, this woman's going someplace. She is a Marxist. Now, the reason she fell out on the 2020 campaign but then became the VP is because Obama put her there.
Mm.
So he's pulling the strings. So here's what's going to happen. She's going to be, again, Biden will finish his term. She'll be the nominee. And I can tell you this much, 100% certainty, the VP for Harris will be Mark Kelly. They're going to put in a white man to be on the team to go against the other team that's two white men along with the woman of color. And what's going to happen is when Trump brings up or anybody brings up during this hard campaigning about him taking a, you know, getting grazed in the ear with a bullet, they're going to be able to throw up and say, well, the vice president's wife, Gabby Giffords, took a bullet in the brain. And she's been suffering life-changing health problems ever since. So that they're going to use that to neutralize him getting shot. And on that subject, lastly, I'll tell you, Ted Nugent asked Alex a question, or wanted to ask Ted Nugent a question. Alex did, but he hung up before. He wanted to know why it was, what would happen if they had blown his brains out. And you hit something on something the other day, I think it was just yesterday, about that being so conspicuous and blatant. They wanted the bullet to go, to blow his head off, traumatize the nation, get rid of the Trump problem, and the Patsy, the 20-year-old kid on top of that roof who did not actually shoot him in the ear, they wanted to put him down because he had an AR-15, and the Democrats were going to use that whole traumatic event to stop AR-15 sales and eventually get everybody to turn him in. The Democrats are already on board with that. And you would have had 50% of the Republicans that support Trump be say, well, you know, my president got his head blown off by an AR-15. I guess I'll give it. I'd never give up mine, my several, but half of them would. And there's your, this is what's going to happen, Harrison. Great job again, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. Fantastic call. I think your prediction about Mark Kelly is extremely smart. And I think you're right about Kamala Harris as well. That does make a lot of sense. And look, the crew found it. Obama calls Californian Kamala Harris best looking attorney general. So yeah,
I told you, their crew is the best.
They absolutely
are. And so you
are.
Can see she's been Team Obama ever since then. And by the way, what's the year of that? 2010, 2012? Before she was
13,
senator,
I think.
Obviously.
Yeah,
13. Yeah, yeah. She's. I'm telling you, she's a Marxist too. She's on. It's all covert behind the scenes. And so I'm resigned. I mean, I voted for Trump both times, but I resigned myself. It's going to be Kamala Harris and Mark Kelly, president, vice president, and.
Chase Geyser, it's going to be a Kamala cost. It's going to be a Kamala cost. We'll be right back.
breaking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. Don't you love when Hollywood lectures you on morality? I mean, look, you got to hand it to them. They know how to manipulate. They know how to craft narratives in ways that are just beyond belief. If they weren't really, like, you'd never believe that this would be the case. It's like comedy. Think about the fact that Hollywood got outed Harvey Weinstein as the kingpin, as basically the entire film industry being a giant blackmail casting couch pedophile bonanza. And they actually have the temerity to turn around and say, this is all men. Actually, this is the problem with men in the workplace. I mean, think about the arrogance and level of gaslighting that's necessary. And it's the same kind of thing, right? You've got all of these rich, effeminate millionaire men getting together to lecture us on our privilege. I mean, there's something to it. There's something to this chutzpah, this ability to sit there, get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, and then to turn around and go, you know, we could all really, you know, frankly, I'm going to be the spokesperson for the anti-stealing brigade. We could all learn to not steal cookies from the cookie jar. It's like, no, that was you. You did that. You were the one raping women. You were the one sending Mossad after your victims to silence them. You were the one on video and audio desperately coercing a young actress that you were abusing behind the scenes. So shut your fat mouths. Like, who do you people think you are? And how do they get away with it? Honestly, how do they get away with it? How do people not see what the reality is? I'll get what I'm saying. I mean, it's got to be the most, it's one of the most insane things that's happened in the last 10 years. The Me Too movement. Where it came out that Hollywood was being run by a bunch of rapists. Not that we didn't know that, but finally it hit the mainstream. It was allowed to break through the Overton window. You learn this entire industry was populated by people, exclusively the people who were willing to let a literal goblin feel them up. Like, that was the prerequisite to getting an Oscar. Was, will you let Harvey Weinstein, human goblin, fondle you? And then they turn around and give these heartfelt, righteous indignation speeches where they're saying, we must not allow this. This is a rape culture and we are leading the fight against it. These people, man. How they have any credibility, how anybody listens, how they think that anybody cares what they say. You know, Harvey Weinstein's assistant, who was his assistant for like 10 years, got handed the keys to Star Wars. She's one that wrote and directed the latest Star Wars show. Nobody likes a new Star Wars show because the people who made it are evil. They can't write stories for human beings. They don't know how. Anyway, let's go back out to your calls about this Cucks for Kamala Zoom event. West Texas Jim wants to talk about unracism. Go ahead, West Texas Jim. You're on the air. Hello. All right, we'll go to Matt in Missouri then. Why are they using the weird terminology? They're calling J.D. Vance and Donald Trump weird. I cannot think of less weird people in the political world. Thanks for calling in, Matt. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Harrison. Well, I was wanting to kind of offer a different strategy on how to respond to being called weird by the left.
Okay.
Well, obviously you've heard the term keep Austin weird or keep San Francisco weird or keep Portland weird.
Yep.
You know, this terminology used to be worn like a badge of honor by the left, and now all of a sudden being weird is bad? Yeah, I'm not going to defend myself against being weird. I'm going to turn and run headfirst into it. To quote the great late Dr. Seuss, we're all a little weird. And so am I going to stop being weird just because the left hates weird people now? Absolutely not.
See, but that's the thing. They don't hate weird people. They are all freaks. They're absolute psychos. Like, sure. This is the weird part of it. Again, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, like they're so weird. They're the least weird people ever. I'm significantly weirder than Donald Trump. The average person is significant. Joe Biden is a weird dude. Joe Biden showering with his daughter. Joe Biden's kids are cracked out whoremongers. Like, that's all very weird. Yeah. What's weird is a man in a dress twerking for your Thanksgiving or Christmas celebration. What's weird is taking orders from the Easter Bunny. This is all very weird. They're very proud of how, because it's not even weird. It's like freakish. They're freakish. They're disturbed. They're aberrant.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So what are they even talking? Are they? They're saying it's weird that J.D. Vance, what, doesn't like liberal cat ladies that vote Democrat 90% of the time? Yeah.
Right.
It's very weird. It's all very weird. I agree. It's like you can kind of, but it just doesn't mean anything. But what it is, the whole purpose of it is just, it's just a signal. It's just there to say, these are members of the outgroup. You should not associate with them. It is literally mean girl, middle school tactics of don't sit at that table. That's where the weird kids sit. Not for any reason, not because it's true, not because people are actually weird, because they just want to scare you away from them. Oh, they're weird. And like, there's something in the minds, especially of like, you know, I mean, women, it's certainly more prevalent, young women especially. And this is the same psychic vulnerability that they always exploit, right? Why are so many girls transgender? Because they are like going through middle school and going through puberty and feel awkward and aren't comfortable with themselves and just want to be liked. They just want to have friends. They just don't want to be the ostracized weirdo freak. So they have this psychic pain, this vulnerability that's exploited, where people come in and go, oh, the reason you feel bad, it's because you're really a boy. If you're a boy, you're cool. If you're a trans person, you're in the in-group 100%. You'll never be excluded, because if they exclude you, it's hate, and we'll attack them for it. So if you want to be in the in-group, you should be trans, and you're set for life. It's playing on this psychology. It's the same psychology they're now adopting for Kamala Harris, where it's, if you want to be in the in-group, if you want to overcome your discomfort with yourself, it's middle school mean girl tactics. And frankly, if you let it work on you, you're a loser, you're pathetic, you're weak, well, I would never marry you. Let's just say that. Let's go to Jen in Georgia. You want to get in on this Kamala Harris convo? Go ahead, Jen. You're on the air.
Yeah, Harrison, I just want to say that you're being a very toxic white male, and I don't appreciate it. You owe us all an apology because Kamala is a strong woman of color who gives us all the strength to look at bigots in the eyes like you and tell you that you're so mean.
I'm so
weird. I don't
weird.
Like it.
Jen, how do you feel about I love it. I mean, these people are so pathetic. As a woman, Jen, I assume you're a natural woman. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about all this? Because I'm not trying to talk trash about women. I'm trying to shame them. Who likes these weak freak women? I mean, it's all gross to me from a woman's perspective. I mean, what do you think about all this nonsense?
No, I'm just messing with you. I think it's kind of scary that men cower to women like this, honestly. I mean, I believe it all started in the church, right? Where the church used to be a place where men would take their wives and prepare them for a spiritual warfare that was going on every day.
Right.
But see, now the church has turned into a place where wives take their husbands and have a safe space for them to be able to, get with their emotions, and now you got women pastors. There is a reason why God preserved the role of leadership for men, and it's so scary when men just cower to women like that, crazies, and now we got a cackling crazy person, crazy lady trying to run for president. I mean, honestly, it's terrifying. If you compare what's going on right now to Idiocracy, it literally goes beyond Idiocracy. It's
I know,
scary.
Man. What a great point, though. Men used to take their wives to church to prepare them for spiritual warfare that was being waged against them. Now women bring their husbands to church to have a safe space to berate them and tell them to. You thought, man, you really hit the nail on the head there.
I think
you nailed it.
I thank God I am married today, because if I were single and I were in the dating world, I would be terrified of what kind of man I would accidentally get myself involved with.
Okay,
my husband, he's a strong man.
Yeah.
He knows where he stands. He knows who his Lord is. You know, he knows all about the evil tactics, of the enemy. So.
So, but I mean, this is the thing though, right? Like, women don't actually want weak men. Like, I didn't date for very long, right? I met my wife in college and I was in a long-term relationship before that. I mean, but I still know that women want you to stand up to them. Like, women don't want to be able to push their men around. Like, if you are a beta and just give in to your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, they start to resent you. They want, it's like, am I crazy? I mean, it's like a testing thing, right? Like, women want to push their men to find out where the line is, and the men eventually are supposed to stand up and go, no, actually, lady, I'm in,
yeah.
I was being nice to you as a courtesy, but calm down. And then they get oh, he's in charge. I like this. I mean, it's yeah. Women don't want weak men.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't want weak men. I think every woman is guilty at some point of trying to push their man and see where the line is drawn. And once we realize that our man is, actually going to act like a man and stand up and be like, no, you don't tell me what to do. I'm the leader. We respect them even more for that, because any woman who has a man who allows himself to be pushed around by her is eventually going to cheat on him anyway, because, well, he's weak. I mean, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
So.
Well, or just allow them. I mean, again, it really is a deep seated evolutionary thing. It's why, why do serial killers in prison get love letters from women? Like, what is that? What is that psychology? It's because there's something deep seated in women that's I need a dangerous man to protect. I need my man to be dangerous. I mean, it's a story that's just over and over and over. And I've had experience with it in my life with people that I know where it's why are you in another abusive relationship? And obviously it can go too far where women are just choosing the worst guys, but there's a reason why. There's a reason why. It's because it's a feeling of safety when it's even though this man might be dangerous to me, he's on my side. And so if anybody else comes, this dangerous person is going to protect me. and I'm in his care, and he needs to be dangerous so he can actually protect me. It's very strange. It's very strange the way that I guess these men think that they're giving women what they want. Women don't want this weak cowardice. They really don't. Even if they say they do. They really don't.
I need to feel safe in my life, you know. I gotta feel safe in my life. If I'm with a man who doesn't make me feel safe, then there's no hope for us. I mean, it's just that easy. That's how it's always been. It should always be that way. I don't know why these men allow women to just take dominance over, you know, a country. Okay, there are women who can do the job well, I'm sure. I mean, there's right. women in history who have, but they don't have the same kind of, I don't know, backbone the way men do. They're too emotionally unstable. Like, we're just not meant for leadership roles. And that's why the Bible is very clear about that. So I think there's a reason.
It's another necessary thing. Like, and it has to do with child rearing, right? That like women are supposed to be more empathetic. They're supposed to be soft. They're supposed to be loving and generous and giving. Like that's the role that I don't want a woman that's hard edged and, you know, mean and, you know, gonna snap. It's like, no. I can do that. I'll do that part. You do the soft, generous, loving stuff. We need both of these things. So, and you're right. It's like, you know, I went to my wife and I went to a small town for a weekend outside of Texas, and we were staying in an Airbnb owned by this woman who was like 90 years old, but had grown up in this small town, born in the house that, you know, she was still living in. And, you know, after we talked to her for a little bit, she was on the city council, and she leaves. My wife and I are just like, yeah, she should be in charge of this town. Like, whatever system we need to have that lady in charge of this town, that's what we need to have. Because, you know, there are women that can do it. Women are often the leaders of movements. And hearing this woman talk about it, she's just like, they want to do a cut through here and not on my watch. That's not going to happen. I'm preserving that park, you know, and it's just like this, you know. But it's not done in a manly way. It's done in a feminine strength way. I don't know. It's a neat distinction, a very slight distinction, but there's a womanly strength that is not like manly strength, and that is necessary for certain things, but you know shouldn't be in charge of things like war, because in things like war you don't want somebody that is empathetic and understanding beyond the point that they can, you know, in order to defeat your enemy you must be able to understand what they're thinking, but it's all just part of tearing down the divide. No, I've loved this call, Jen. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I hope I didn't freak out too much in the beginning.
No. No, I know you're not actually for Kamala, and it was convincing. It was an accurate way they would react. Well, thank you so much for the call, Jen. I appreciate it. Let's go to Lee in New Jersey. Lee in New Jersey. What do you got for us?
Hi, I was watching earlier, and you were showing the Zoom call with mm-hmm. the white women, yeah, for Harris. And I saw that yesterday posted, and honestly, it made me embarrassed to be a white woman.
Right.
Literally, I thought, my goodness, what, you know, I would have liked to have seen the faces of the women when the main person was speaking, kicking it off. I would have liked to have seen their faces, their reaction. But I'm with Jen, your previous caller there, as far as, I don't need to see a woman in the White House. In fact, I don't think that's necessary or appropriate really, because men and women, you know, we're very different. That's why, you know, men are from Venus and women are from Mars. That's we're just created differently. We have different strengths and weaknesses. And a woman, I don't believe, you know, that's not anything that I need to have happen.
You don't like being talked to like a preschooler, Lee? That doesn't resonate with you? Put your listening ears on. You're white, so shut up. Right. Listen to the black women.
Exactly.
I mean, that doesn't resonate with you?
I know. No. The toxicity, it's so toxic. I was like, are you kidding me? This is really, it's what the kids call cringe.
Yes, it's very cringe.
Yeah, it's just so insane. It's like, I know these days probably somewhat in the minority because, the whole country and world's just going to hell. But I, for a long time, I've never wanted or needed to see like women, sportscasters. I don't need to see a woman, on the sidelines of an NFL game, there's certain roles, in my opinion, certain roles that, men can stick to, and women, we have lots of opportunities, but it kills me because I have this conversation all the time with my boyfriend that where are all the women's rights people?
Right.
Where are they all with men in women's sports, men going into women's bathrooms. I was very quick to cancel my Planet Fitness membership after that video. I don't know if it went viral, but I know they lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Off of that. So where are people, speaking up and looking out for women?
Right. Well, it's the same thing like what we were talking about earlier, where this guy's going, I'm so glad that white men are explicitly discriminated against now. And it's like, okay, well, your whole thing was, if your whole thing is to be anti-discrimination, but you're happy it's being done again. So if your whole thing is like pro women, but you're happy that men are obliterating them in the sports field, like they don't believe what they say they believe. It's just, it's all lies.
No.
It's all deception.
And, exactly. And if it were happening to men, where they were spending their whole, live training and preparing for something only to have, your face broken when somebody, smashes a volleyball into it because they're 6 feet two and, got junk in their shorts.
And a man,
if it was the other way around, there would be nonstop.
You're exactly right. 100%. I'm loving these calls, folks. We got to go to break, but we'll be right back soon. Thanks for the call, Lee.
So number one, you've got central banks now starting to buy it by the tons, right? It's a lot. You've now got Chinese citizens being encouraged to not just buy gold, but buy silver. Because China and Russia want to destroy the Western banks. And the Western banks, JP Morgan Chase and HSBC, have the largest number of naked short positions on the planet. On the planet. I think between the two of them, they have over 900 million ounces of silver in short position. Well, only 1.2 billion ounces of silver is mined every year globally. So they've got almost the entire annual production in a short position. That means when the price goes up, these banks lose money hand over fist in multiples. China knows this, which is why they're encouraging all of their citizens now to buy not just gold, but buy silver, because that creates more demand. Every time silver goes up in price, the Western banks lose money in multiples because they're on the wrong side of the transaction. They want to do it to destroy the West, and they want to do it to make a financial gain. Both of those, in their minds, are legitimate enough reasons to do something, right? But let's look at silver, because that's what we're allocated into right now, because the ratio between gold and silver points towards silver. It's outperforming. Where were we just 4 years ago? 1191. But now since then, we've gone from 1191 to almost 30 in the last 4 years. See, the trend is accelerating because the geopolitical dynamics are causing its growth. It's not just a flight for safety. It's not just a way to preserve and protect your freedoms and get out of these unified ledgers and these social credit scoring systems and this digital money. you're getting something tangible that actually doesn't just grow. It's growing tremendously. It's up like 40% in 4 months. That's amazing. But you also have something that can maintain your freedoms, Alex. That's the tangible intangible, which is as our freedoms
are
eroded.
Oh, no, man, I can't believe we have millions of viewers right now and maybe 500 people call you. It's a sponsor. I only promote what I think is great. So I sell water filtration systems that have the highest rating for like half the price on average. And I sell high quality supplements. I just sell stuff that I think is great. Everybody should call you and get into silver and gold right now. There's nothing performing as good as it. I mean, it's like it's on record. It's the best investment, but the stockbrokers won't tell you that. The globalist argument is, oh, the world's in turmoil and everything's collapsing. We got to be strong. And America's got to threaten Russia and China to keep us as the dollar. But they're the ones that undermine the currency. They're the ones that brought us into this situation. And so that's why this is so incredibly dangerous. This is trying to kill Trump just, 10, 11 days ago. They are going for broke. I wish we weren't in this position, but we are. But by admitting where we are, we have a real chance of waking up, like Congress saying, we know you tried to kill Trump. Buying silver is the smartest bet there is. You'd have bought silver a year ago, up 20, 30%. That's what you want. And silver is the big mover in this economy. So go now. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3100. We'll explain it all to you. Most of the gold and silver companies are charging you huge 30, 40, 50% premiums. And most of the conservative talk show hosts are doing it too. And I talked to them in person. I say, you need Kirk Elliott.
What does Goldman Sachs think gold is going to do before the end of the year? $2,700 an ounce.
And I'm sitting here saying, it funds us, it keeps us on air, and it's the best investment, hands down, in an imperfect world. I mean,
this is, to me, is one of the most important things to protect your financial future ever.
Go now to KEPM.com/gold.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks.
Going out to your phone calls. Let's go to Brian in New York. You want to talk about the Me Too movement. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the air.
Hey, my compliments on connecting Harvey Weinstein to the Me Too thing. Never heard anyone in media mention that, but it was so clear. And, you know, the algorithm was enhanced to push that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I noticed was the Stop Asian Hate hashtag that was all over the place. There was a murder in New York City. A Chinese food delivery guy didn't deliver duck sauce to some guy. And he was murdered because of it. Well, it turns out the guy who killed him was Jewish. This happened in April 2022. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I really haven't heard Stop Asian Hate really since it was it came out that was the guy who killed him. Had that been just a regular white guy, forget about it. That would have exponentially grown. So that's one thing. And then the other thing about women and politics is, the reason I think we'll have Newsom as a president eventually, and I really hope not, is because he throws vibes of like the kind of guy in the neighborhood who would sleep with his neighbor's wife. And on some level, women like that darkness.
Right. This goes back to our why do women write love letters to serial killers discussion. He's got the serial killer vibe that women are inexplicably attracted to.
Yeah. Yeah. Just this sleaze bag kind of, pat you on the back 1 minute and then just, really screw things up. And there's something inside, a large part of the, I think, mostly female population that is attracted to that, which is I think it's kind of biblical, actually.
You know, it seems like all that's needed is like, I don't know, humility. Like it's fine to be like, oh, I just like Newsom because he whatever, you know. There Claire Lehman, I think her name is, put out a post, and it was just hilarious, because first the tweet I saw was somebody saying, you know, something about like, we, you know, women shouldn't vote, women shouldn't be in politics or something. And then like the next tweet was Claire Lehman saying, you know, I just like the vibes of Kamala Harris. It, you know, it's just this like, I like that she can dance. And it's just like, that's fine. That's fine to like that she can dance. Can we also recognize that if that's your, you know, if that's how you're judging people, then you shouldn't be allowed to vote. Like, you know, it's fine to like her because she can dance. Great. But can you have the humility to say, yeah, look, I like that she can dance, but that's not the best requisite for leading the country in war? Like, can you have a little humility and just go, yeah, it's fine. You like her, but like, can you recognize maybe you're not the best person to choose who's in charge? I don't know.
The thing about dancing is if you're like a dance, like any sort of dancer, they're manipulated by sound and environmental cues, right? So they're kind of a very pliable person. Mm. Dancing is a form of mind control in a lot of ways, because it's not a, it's kind of like a, almost like a spell. When someone's dancing, it's not a natural thing. It's a, it's almost like a spiritual thing.
It's like a possession
no
thing.
Evolutionary purpose. Dance. Yeah. That's another thing.
I mean, yeah. Look, to be honest, Trump's a better dancer than Kamala. So, I mean, if that's your thing, you know, maybe we're just looking at this the wrong way. Maybe instead of just, you know, criticizing the fact that these women are apparently responding to being talked to like toddlers and saying, why don't you grow up? We're trying to talk about politics here. We're trying to talk about who's going to run the country. You know, stop acting like this is tea time. Stop acting like you're talking to a bunch of toddlers. We're trying to be adults here. You know, maybe we should just embrace it. Maybe that's the solution. Maybe the solution is to talk to the liberals like they're babies. Maybe we need to say, Trump is a big man. He's a good man. We need a wall to keep out the bad guys. Okay, there's bad guys on the outside, and we want to be safe and comfortable in here. Like, I don't know, maybe we just need to embrace this. Maybe we need to pitch Trump's policies like you're convincing a toddler to go to bed or something like that. I mean, what else, you know? Look, Trump is going to stop the war, okay? There's a war and people are suffering and it hurts them, okay? And there's bombs falling and it's very scary. And when Trump comes, he's going to stop all of that. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? Like, does that get through? Can we just do that? Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to embrace it. Maybe in order to get the liberals to get on our side, we need to start treating them like the little babies that they apparently like to be treated as. The little weak cuck babies that they like to be treated as. I just hate them. I really do. I really do. And again, it's because the ultimate result is just the bad people get away with it. If your country and all of its systems that were set up and designed to protect the innocent from criminals, if it's all taken over by a bunch of weak pushover cuck scumbags, it's going to be the innocent women and the innocent, you know, young boys that are the ones who are victimized in all of this. We can't stand up. Apparently we can't stand up to them. It's too hard. Let's go to Daryl in North Carolina. Go ahead, Daryl, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling for the White Dudes for Harrison Zoom call.
You are now an official member of White Dudes for Harrison. Welcome aboard, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, hey, what I wanted to talk about was Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, who's trying to steal the election right now. And all the big politician people around the world are calling him out for stealing, even Blinken, mm-hmm. except for one. Kamala Harris giving Maduro her thumbs up.
Is she really? I didn't see that. I covered the Blinken story yesterday. I don't. I'm kind of confused here, Daryl. I'm not following. You're allowed to question a lot. Like I'm kind of confused here. You're telling me that people were holding an insurrection. You're saying that the terrorists, the MAGA extremists of Venezuela, are daring to question election results. This is, we recognize, a universal bad. How could this possibly be a good thing. How is it that Anthony Blinken dares to question the results of an election? I mean, not even being facetious, like, they're doing exactly in Venezuela what Biden did here. Like, one to one. Yeah. Like, the graphs even look the same. They cheat in the election in a way that's so blatant that everybody gets pissed off, and there's, like, mobs running around the street destroying things, and so they're arresting all of the leaders of the dissident groups. Like, it's... like, I really am trying to get across, like, the idea that
the best part.
America becomes a totalitarian state, we're already there. And as we speak, communist dictatorships are using the lessons they learned from our leadership to crush their dissent in their country. They are using the January 6th playbook of cheat in the election, when everybody gets pissed, crush them, arrest their leadership, shock and awe, domestic terrorist roundup campaign, and throw them all into prison to send a signal that from now on, questioning the election is illegal and you will be treated as a terrorist for doing so. There are communist dictatorships in this hemisphere that are following the Joe Biden playbook. At least when it comes to Venezuela, they weren't actively assisted by the U.S. State Department, as far as I know, unlike in Brazil, where literally the CIA and the State Department went down to Brazil to say, let's tell you how to run this playbook. We're going to do another January 6th election theft, just like we did in America. And they did. They pulled it off. That's why Silva's in charge in Brazil now. Ironically, in Venezuela, it's Americans on the side of the rioters, but it's all just geopolitical games they're playing. So anybody that was in support, that called January 6th an insurrection, you don't get to pretend like you're against what's happening in Venezuela right now.
All right, folks. Vitamin Mineral Fusion is finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We just had a shipment come in months ago, and it sold out so fast that we frantically worked to get this back in stock as soon as possible because Vitamin Mineral Fusion is one of our most popular products. Now, the reason that you should be getting this product is for the same reason that you get any other multivitamin product. Our body needs these vitamins, these minerals, and these nutrients in order to live and operate at the most efficient level possible. Now, you should be getting this from InfoWarsStore.com instead of from your pharmacy or your grocery store or with name brands or generic versions, because this has optimal absorption included in it. It's designed for your body to be able to actually absorb all of the nutrients in the most efficient way possible, unlike other competitors on the market that just simply don't operate that way. Now, this includes comprehensive nutritional support. Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com has A, C, D, E, B complex, essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, and zinc. Everything the body needs to survive. It also includes enhanced absorption and utilization. Like I was saying before, this is an advanced multivitamin formulation designed to let your body actually absorb everything so you don't just flush it out like with so many competitors. And finally, it will support energy production and recovery. So make sure you check out Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com right now, not only because this product is an amazing product for anybody in the world to take, but because by purchasing from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep us on the air in this most dangerous time for both InfoWars and our country. We know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that the New World Order is trying to take over and shut down InfoWars and, frankly, shut you down too. So by getting Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you fighting for your health, but you're fighting for your country and you're fighting for humanity itself.
The chef of a prominent figure was found dead today in what appears to be a paddleboarding accident. Find out whose chef it was tonight at 10.
Welcome to Martha's Vineyard. Are you our new chef?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm John.
Have you met Michelle yet?
Hello? Someone there? No, I haven't had the pleasure.
Just make sure you get her steak by noon.
I've been getting some weird vibes here. Feels like I'm seeing things I'm not supposed to see. I don't think these people are who everyone thinks they are.
Are you enjoying the view of my Michael? I mean Michelle.
shell. It's...
They lied about Joe Biden's health. They lied about Russian collusion and COVID. They lied about Hunter's laptop, and they lied about January 6th. They lied about the Ukraine and Jeffrey Epstein and Hollywood and everything in between. And now they want you to believe that this guy acted alone. Stop believing their bullshit. Everything they tell you is a lie.
Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Bulletproof t-shirt's out. We need the support. It's an amazing shirt. Support InfoWars. We support Trump. Get the new Bulletproof President Trump shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be back.
Folks, so a lot of your calls to get to here. Just everything is insane. From the Google censorship from yesterday, terrorist attack, and you know, why is it that in England there are terror attacks against little girls? The little girls are like always the target. The Manchester Arena attack was during an Ariana Grande concert. The stabbing attack yesterday was at a Taylor Swift event. And this is sort of the perfect example of what we're talking about here. Somebody else posted that image of the little girl trying to crawl away from the 17-year-old illegal immigrant attacker that had stabbed her, bloody. And just underneath that, I thought here it is. Joel Berry posted this. Somebody posted this picture, and he says, "This is a picture of a little girl who was stabbed by a 17-year-old Islamic terrorist while attending a Taylor Swift dance party in the UK. Three children were killed." Below the photo is the reply from a liberal white woman who tags the Mercy Police and says, "Should images like this being used to incite hatred as is being done here, I hope this isn't one of the victims of the Southport attack." Tagging the police and saying, should this photo be allowed to be posted? It's spreading hate. Should the victims of a crime be seen by the public? Because people might hate the attacker then. And then there's the, you know, classic meme at this point of, you know, liberal white woman complaining that she doesn't feel safe walking the streets at night after having just voted to release all the prisoners from jail. There's a pathological altruism strain in the West right now. And it's not just women. It's not just liberal women. It's not just men. I mean, it's not like it's men as well. That you got to get over and just really. And I have this with, I'm sure you have friends like this too, where it's like, dude, you're too nice. You're too nice. And it makes everything inconvenient for everybody. Like, I have a friend, he doesn't have the balls just to say no to somebody. And so he'll say yes to a ton of stuff, and then he won't be able to handle everything, so then he just, like, flakes on you, and you're like, you should have just said no. Like, why do you think it's nice to say yes to something that you can't do? Or, like, what? Like, at a certain point, your niceness becomes an inconvenience. It becomes selfish to everybody else. Sometimes being strict is the nice thing to do. And there is something to the childlessness that if you aren't around kids, you can have this warped view of the world. When you have kids, when you're responsible for kids, it all becomes very obvious. At least it should. Strangely, I mean, even then it doesn't work for some people where they're just like, why is my kid always so bad? And it's like, because you never punish him, dumbass. Like, oh, how do people not get this? It's not nice to always be nice. It's not a kind thing to always be a pushover and always be surrendering and always be a coward or weak. It's mean, actually. It inconveniences everybody else because we have to make up for it. Anyway, let's get out to your phone calls again. Nathaniel in Alabama wants to talk about racism. Go ahead, Nathaniel. You're on the air.
What's up, Harrison?
Howdy.
Hey, I'm just on the way to the gym so I can get jacked and mog libtard queer bait. I know you know what that's about, but yeah, post-racism. So I was listening to Nick the other day, Nick Fuentes. I'm a bit of a groiper, and he was talking about Gavin McGinnis talking about post-racism and, like, you know, leaning into the fact that we can't just spend our whole time denying that we're racist. So you kind of have to just lean into it a bit and be like, you know what? I do love white people. I think that they're great. You know, you have stuff to offer, but yeah, I'm not you. I'm white. So I gotta,
yeah, I mean,
that, you know,
to me, because I get this too sometimes where, like, if I ever say, like, I'm not racist, or if I ever say I'm not anti-Semitic or whatever, I'll get comments, people being like, stop kowtowing to him, stop signaling to him. And it's like, no, but I'm just actually not. There's a weird misconception. I don't know what it is, misinterpretation, where it's like, it's not racist to like white people. That's what's messed up about this. Like, obviously, post-racism is a lie. Doesn't exist. It's not real. And this is something that I meant to bring up earlier, actually, where, and more people are kind of noticing this, where it's like the Republicans will be like, we don't do identity politics, but there's blacks for Trump and Hispanics for Trump and whites for Trump. And there's not whites for Trump. That's the one there's not, right?
RNC was so diverse.
Yeah. So they're fine with identity politics. It's not white people. And that's the weird, again, I think it's because, like, I don't know, I actually grew up not a majority, and like you get targeted because of your race sometimes. And the way to respond to that is just to stand up against it. It's really not that complicated. Just put yourself in.
They'll be able to see that you're not racist by your actions. I mean, like, we're not out here actually hating people because of their race. We're just trying to boost our race. It's not denigrating them. It's just boosting us.
And I would even say it doesn't even need to go so far as, like, boosting our race, right? It's just like, we shouldn't be discriminated against. It's literally just, if we just had equality, I think we'd all be fine with that. If we literally just had it to where, like, you can't discriminate one way, you can't discriminate the other. Doesn't matter if you call it affirmative action or Jim Crow, discrimination is bad. Like, is that not a good position for everybody to have? And, like, okay, maybe there'll be different, there'll be racial differences in statistics in that case. Okay, deal with it. Like, again, this is what I don't understand. I can put myself in the mindset of, like, a black dude or Hispanic dude, and it's like, would I then not care about the crime rates in the black community? Wouldn't I care even more? Like, would I not talk about it then? Is it racist to talk about black crimes today, or the fact that 75% of black kids are you know, born out of wedlock? Like, is it white supremacist to believe that? It seems like that would be a black issue. Black people should care most about that. But if I talk about it, I'm a white supremacist. It's all nonsense. So I think just the language itself needs to be done away with. I think it's a mistake to be like, if you're going to call me racist, then I am racist. Screw the other people. I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but, like, that's not the dichotomy. That's a false dichotomy. the truth is just everybody should respect everybody else, and I respect other races, and I demand that respect for my race. Is this, it really shouldn't be that complicated, right? Because I agree with you, Nathaniel, but I do think that a lot of people take it too far the other way, where it's like, they're care solely about their race, so I'm going to care solely about my race. And it's like, all right, you're just kind of making everything worse for everybody. Fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not like you should not care about your race. I mean, that's the, if somebody's like, we're doing this because it's bad for white people, it's like, I'm going to say that's bad. That's not good. I was talking to the post I had went viral talking to my Mexican neighbor. At one point, he was like, yeah, you know, I grew up, we were the only Hispanic family. I grew up in a small town. Everybody else was white. And I'm just like, oh, it sounds awesome. And he like laughs and it's like, yeah, it was pretty nice, actually. You know, it's like, it's just not being ashamed. It's just not allowing the word white to be used as a derogatory statement. It's not about like, we white men will be in charge of everything and crush everybody else. It's just like, yeah, I'm white and that's not a bad thing. And my son's white and I'm not going to raise him to be ashamed of himself. Is this really so difficult? Is this really so hard? And apparently it is, because if you watch the white dudes for Kamala, they can't say the word white without like apologizing. They do like a little genuflection every time. They're like, all these white guys, white, right? Am I right? But there are people of color too, and it's like, you just cowards. If we just stop being cowards, that would be great. That's my message.
A lot of people have been asking me how they support InfoWars in this critical fight. And it's simple. Support our sponsors. And we brought you something really special that's a limited edition. It is a campaign coin. You've seen campaign coins from different wars, Vietnam, World War II, you name it. Some wars were just, some wars were bad. But still, we've supported the troops and their memento of the campaign they've been through. Well, we're working with one of the top companies in America that is supporting so many great conservative talk show hosts like the Hodge Twins and so many others who come up with so many of these beautiful coins. And this one is the Hold the Line coin. It is a limited edition. And this campaign coin is only $30. You get an additional 10% off with promo code Alex at holdtheline.com. Holdtheline.com. It's got the Liberty Bell. It says fight for freedom with other inscriptions on the reverse side. It's got key quotes from the Bill of Rights, from true Americana history. This is a piece of history that funds the InfoWar. So this is a limited edition for InfoWars. If you want to support the broadcast, get the Hold the Line coin right now at holdtheline.com. This is how you show the globalists that you're a patriot and you stood up for America and you help hold the line, the most critical point in the info war. Go to holdtheline.com and get 10% off with the promo code Alex. It's an amazing limited edition coin. I'm firing the bat signal like Colonel Travis the Alamo. Victory or death, we need your support. It's a piece of history. You get a big discount with promo code Alex. Now go to holdtheline.com right now and get the coin, holdtheline.com. Want to keep us on air? Get a piece of history? Take action now. Holdtheline.com.